Good morning. Welcome to our Savior Lutheran Church. We welcome all of you that are here in person with us on this February the 12th, 2023, on the sixth Sunday of Epiphany. Our Sunday morning worship service in person is at 10 a.m., and then we are broadcast at 11 a.m. on WPHM 1380 a.m. Service recordings are also available on their podcast at www.wphm.net, podcast Our Savior. Today's broadcast is sponsored by Mary Patterson for the belated happy birthday for Ann McRae. Our worship leader today is Pastor Charlie Martin. Our pianist is Carol Cataldo. Sound tech is Hope Dorsbacher, and I will be assisting, and I am Judy Quater. In today's reading from Deuteronomy, we are called to choose life by loving and obeying God. Much of today's gospel reading echoes portions of the Ten Commandments. Jesus' instructions to the crowd reveal a pattern of behavior that honors both God and the neighbor, resulting in life and health for the whole community. We too are invited to embrace these commandments, not out of fear of retribution, but because God has promised that to do so means life for us in community with those we live with. We still live in grace from God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our gathering hymn, Holy Spirit, Ever Dwelling.
Rise as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who makes all things new, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Trusting in God's mercy, let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Holy One, source of our renewal, we confess that we are wrapped up in sin and cannot free ourselves. We have not practiced your righteousness. Our hearts have turned away from you. For the sake of the world you so love, forgive us that we may be reconciled to one another. For the glory of your holy name. Amen. Thus says our God, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. God's mercy makes us new. We are forgiven in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all. Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who hope in you, because we are weak mortals, we accomplish nothing good without you. Help us to see and understand the things we ought to do, and give us grace and power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated for the readings.
Our first reading today is from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 to 20. The Lord sets before the people of God a clear choice. Life and prosperity will come to the faithful. Loss of the land will be in the consequence of disobedience. Choosing life entails loving and holding fast to the Lord. Life in God's presence presupposes the promise made to the ancestors. Moses said to the people, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. This is the word of the Lord. Today's psalm is Psalm 119, 1 through 8. The antiphon is, "Happy are they who follow the teaching of the Lord. Happy are they whose way is blameless, who follow the teaching of the Lord. Who never do any wrong, but always walk in your ways. Happy are they who follow the teaching of the Lord. Oh, that my ways were made so direct that I might keep your statutes. I will thank you with a true heart when I have learned your righteous judgments. Happy are they who follow the teaching of the Lord." Today's hymn of praise, "This Little Light of Mine." Our second reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Human leaders in the church are not the ones who control ministry. Rather, they are co-workers who belong to God, the one who truly controls and continuously empowers the ministry of the church. The reading begins. Brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted Apollos, watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants working. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise as you are able. Join with me in the gospel acclamation. Alleluia. You are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hid. Alleluia. Our gospel today is from St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to the Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. The gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. It is a life or death situation in Ohio, read the news headline. We all probably saw that this week. The train derailment down there has been a top item in the news for many days this week. But having just read our first passage, these words may really echo in our minds. The fire and police officers went door to door, seeking people who were just not yet willing to leave everything behind and abandon their homes. The threat of child endangerment loomed for any who were staying and had a child with them. That seemed to be a little bit of overreaching to me. These could have been the same scenes from the wildfires last summer, when the threat was so very real and great for the people affected by those terrible events. And of course, even more recently, we've had the earthquake events, which has caused so many to lose everything, including many of them, their lives. I can't imagine having maybe an hour at best to gather up all my belongings and leave a home for perhaps the last time. Some of you have perhaps experienced something very similar to this. Especially with all my favorite books, I think I would need maybe a week at least, not an hour, to gather any of my belongings up. Certainly, given the need and the or else dialogue, anything certainly can be done given the urgency. I remember one person that I knew that in one of our discussions said that they went through a pretend moving process every 5 years just to force themselves to purge out all the unnecessary stuff that they had collected within that time. Do we get terrified at all when we hear the words of Moses in that first passage today? Or do we just shrug it off as some old story that doesn't really affect us? The people are ready for this move, so that is not the issue. They are really just wanderers living in tents. If we need to consider the situation for these people of God following Moses, we recall that they are the children of the people that experienced the parting of the Red Sea and the rest of the Exodus event. They had never actually experienced the event themselves or the first Passover that preceded this. They do have the stories that we all now can read about the lives of their parents and what they dealt with on this journey. We need to remember that God is not exactly giving them some empty lot to build on. They're moving in where other people are already living. While most of the land will in fact be taken by force, they will ultimately end up living among some of these existing residents. Those people worship gods other than the people of God do, pagan idols who really do not have the power that our God has. This will certainly be a source of friction, as well as some temptations of this region they are going into in the promised land of Canaan. This is the focus of what Moses is telling them, that if they follow God's commandments, they will be able to be strong in their faith and not give in to joining in with these other people. We all know from the stories we have read that they weren't able to do that for the full time of their exposure to these other people. How are we, in dealing with all that is around us and resisting the many temptations of our modern world? We usually think in terms of the Ten Commandments, but the reality is that there are really 613 of them. If we really go into Deuteronomy and Leviticus and Numbers and sit and count them all as we read those passages, the real key for what God wanted them to do as the people of God in their following the commandments is that they will be able to live in community with each other, support each other in life, and not live in any self-centeredness. This was the other danger in not following the commandments, that they would fall apart from each other and lose the community spirit that they were dependent on. Community is integral for being able to trust each other and live with each other, both in Moses' day and ever since, and for all of us. This is a large part of what we focus on ourselves on today, our faith helping us to live in community, certainly at least with our church family. Our gospel passage today is a further continuation of the message that Jesus has been teaching the disciples for our past couple of Sundays, the Sermon on the Mount. We hopefully recall that Jesus made a point that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. He really goes further into making that point for us today. The subjects that he chooses to highlight are issues of the law that are of great concern in that time. They also might be some issues that many in our time would be rather uneasy with the focus that he places on them. We realize that Jesus is really not trying to convict anyone relative to these laws, but that we need to realize that God really does care about us following them. While we do in fact depend on grace for our righteousness, Jesus really does care about how it is that we live our lives. He really does want us to try to be living within all those 613 commandments that exist really for our benefit. Even knowing the 10, actually the first three are the ones that really relate to our relationship with God. The rest are all about how we live with each other. People hearing this might balk at the concept of this many commandments. In respect to this, do we have any idea how many laws there are in our nation? We have the country with the greatest number of laws of all nations. We have 4,312 laws, this as of 2016. I didn't get a reference for later than that. But we also have rules, which in effect are also laws, of which we have about 90,000. The 613 commandments are sounding an awful lot better now, aren't they? Within all those laws that we have some rather dumb laws that are still on our legal books. How they even exist in our day might be beyond us. For example, a door on a car may not be left open any longer than necessary. No guidance on what that might be in terms of time. Animals are banned from mating publicly within 1,500 feet of a tavern, school, or place of worship. An interesting collection of places. And how would they ever control that? Also, it is illegal. We need to remember this one. It's illegal to drive a camel on the highway. In fact, many of our laws from God, that we have in real life, are ways that we've worked around breaking some of the laws of God. In particular, even the laws that Jesus is speaking to us about. We can all likely understand how important it is to God that we apologize to someone before we participate in worship or take communion. The adultery law was intended to protect the sanctity of marriage, particularly in Jesus's time, but works for today as well. Divorce laws that we have protect both the interests of women and men in our time, pretty much. But Jesus weighs in on this law because women were often not treated particularly fairly in that time. Men could just write a paper of divorce based on very little and dismiss a wife, often leaving her penniless with no legal standing. The oath issue is probably a little confusing to us, and it ought to be. Now, certainly we know of people who cannot speak without using colorful adjectives, no matter who they are around. I knew of one such person who really embarrassed me with his manner of speech. It was tough to ever be around him. In Jesus's time, though, they would swear on something to bolster their commitment to do something. They didn't have written sales agreements or contracts. This really leads us towards how Jesus ends all this particular passage of his message for us. When he says yes means yes and no means no, he's really trying to eliminate the swearing by heaven or earth to enforce that that person is really committing to something, is really trustworthy, and will live up to their commitment. Jesus wants us to just have love and compassion for all others and really be trustworthy in all of our relationships. How we live our lives, after all, really does matter to our triune God, for it, in many ways, is a reflection of our faith in them. We typically actually phrase the laws of God not as much as laws, but as gifts that God gave to us so that we can live in the way of love that Jesus demonstrated for us. While Jesus loves us unconditionally, he really cares about how we are with the others that we live with, that we follow the commandment that he left for us to follow. That is, that we love one another as Jesus has loved us. Our society has tweaked this over the years and made this into doing for one another as we would have someone else do for us. The better tense, I think, for this is when we insert the word that Jesus uses, that we love one another as we would want to be loved by them. We really do want to live as Jesus wants for us and love others unconditionally like Jesus does. This can be hard, but it really shows up when we see their urgent needs, like in the recent earthquake disaster. We pray for the survivors and for those who have lost lives in this event. We support our agencies that call out to us asking for assistance in their efforts to bring aid to the people. While God loves all the people of the earth, these disasters still do happen due to the reality of the evil of our world. Someday this will all be changed, and Jesus will come and embrace us all with love and eliminate evil from our world. Until then, we live in the embrace of God's love in our lives and share that embrace with all others. Amen. As you are able. Let us pray. Called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need.
Inspire your church that it may be a sign of life throughout the world. From the exploration of faith with children and new believers to missionaries and bishops, shape lives of faithfulness so that all find abundant life in your ways. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Nourish your creation. Accompany all who plant and water. Bless the work of farmers. Provide for subsistence farmers facing drought and climate change. Guide the work of agricultural scientists towards sustainable ways to feed the world. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Give growth where there seems to be no hope for life, in nations and regions where reconciliation seems impossible. Empower peacemakers with your spirit. Where death holds sway through violence, disease, disasters, and hunger, equip relief workers to bring hope, especially in Turkey and Syria. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Comfort and nurture those in our midst who need your compassionate care, including all our homebound. Let us either silently or aloud pray for our own intentions and people in need. Bring healing to all who experience trauma caused by systems of injustice and destructive relationships. Today we pray for Donna Barnish, Deb Cook, Pastor Don Dorsbacher, Sarah Mayer Flatt, Jerry Masser, Cherry Mojerak, Beverly and Ed O'Connor, Carl Rich, Douglas Weaver, David and Karen Hooven, Kirk Langoff, Tom Bachman, Pastors Joyce and Ken Stabe and their son Mason, the family and friends of Bob Porter, Herman Bratfish, Enoch Carlton, and Jim Davidson with their passing. We also pray for those serving to protect our nation both at home and overseas, that they may return safely. Sustain all who work for restoration. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Encourage this congregation, call us to a common purpose, and keep us from quarreling. Turn our hearts toward you and guide our leaders so that our choices may be life-saving for all. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Thanks be to you for the lives of all who have died in Christ. Teach us to follow them in your ways and gather us with them into the promise of eternal life with you. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. We bring to you our needs and hopes, O God, trusting your wisdom and power revealed in Christ crucified. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated for the offering.
Thank you for your continued support of our Christian ministry here at Our Savior Lutheran. Pastor has given me a note here. Please look for the email from our pastor regarding Lutheran World Relief relative to the earthquake relief efforts in Turkey and Syria. We have a council meeting this Tuesday. Council members, please watch the video that was sent in our email also before attending the council meeting. Liberating God, you break the bonds of injustice and let the oppressed go free. Receive these offerings in thanksgiving for all your works of merciful power, and shape us as people of your justice and freedom. You magnify and adore through Jesus our Savior. Amen. Offering him, take my life that I may be.
Please rise as you are able. Let us pray together with confidence in the words that our Savior gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the God who faithfully brings forth justice and breaks the oppressor's rod bless, strengthen, and uphold you today and always. Amen. You may be seated for our sending hymn.
Go in peace. Follow the way of Jesus.
Thanks be to God.
One more announcement, we do have coffee hour downstairs.